The reading tonight is from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to verse 42. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Do not be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kom," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished.
Well, it's my great privilege this evening to invite our special guest to the stage, Brooke Prentice. So, Brooke, why don't you come up and join me? Why don't we welcome Brooke to our church this evening? Brooke, we've just, as a nation, taken part in Reconciliation Week. We're a couple of days late to the party, but we are so, so grateful to have you as an incredible Aboriginal Christian leader here to share with us tonight. A lot of people here are probably new faces to you, and we'd love to just briefly get to know you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do with Common Grace at the moment?
Is it on? Oh, there we are. My peoples are the Waka Waka peoples. That is my Nan's country. Waka Waka Nation is in the lands now called Queensland, in about 3 hours northwest of Brisbane or Meanjin. I moved to Sydney 2 years ago, so I now live on the lands of the, I had for the last 2 years, Gadigal country, but I've just recently moved to Wongal people's lands. Grew up on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland on Gubbi Gubbi country, which is the neighbouring nation to Waka Waka Nation. I'm actually by profession a chartered accountant, one of only 22 Indigenous chartered accountants in all of Australia, and now have the privilege of leading the movement that is Common Grace, the movement of people pursuing Jesus and justice. And I'm actually the first Aboriginal person to be appointed as a CEO or national leader of a national Christian organisation in these lands now called Australia.
Which isn't in and of itself, like, it's a beautiful thing, but also there's sadness that it took a long time to have Aboriginal people moving into those positions. What has it been like to walk that journey with Common Grace over the last few years as an Aboriginal Christian woman? Tell us a little bit about what your kind of day-to-day looks like with Common Grace, what it is that, what the changes you're seeking to bring about in the Australian church.
Yeah, well, when I think about my path with Common Grace, so Common Grace is now 7 years old. I was there close to the beginning, but not at the beginning, and came on as the Aboriginal spokesperson for Common Grace, which was a volunteer role. So I was being financial controller, CFO of very large companies, and in my lunch hours and at night time doing all the Aboriginal justice work for Common Grace. I had left accounting back in 2012 to go and run an Aboriginal church. I was a pastor, and I was working for Ernst & Young, which is one of the big four accounting firms. I spent 7 years with them. So a very different world to then become an Aboriginal pastor of an Aboriginal church. That was in 2012. And sadly, that ministry was closed down because that denomination said they had no funding for their only Aboriginal church in the country. And so I went back into accounting to fund my ministry, which was part of Common Grace, was part of that, as well as still being a community pastor. And Common Grace gave me a lot of hope. Scott Sanders, the previous CEO, he said, Brooke, here is a movement of people pursuing Jesus and justice who want to know about Aboriginal justice. They don't know, and here's a platform, and use it. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, you just want me to write things and you'll put it out to Christians? Mm. He's like, yes, which had been more than what the churches had done to support me as an individual Aboriginal Christian leader or Aboriginal ministry. And, you know, as I look back, we're now over 50,000 people pursuing wow. Jesus and justice. And it's been that steady growth over the last 7 years. And to see how the church has changed in its relationship with Aboriginal peoples, we've still got a long way to go. Yep. But Common Grace has definitely made an impact, and it has given me hope because we can come together. And when we come together, we do feel less tired and less alone. And Jesus yep. calls us together.
That's brilliant. And we are so grateful for your leadership. We've been on a little bit of a journey, probably early days still, over the last year. A bunch of us met on Zoom together. So it's great to be here in person in 2021 and joining with your Change the Heart service earlier in the year and being deeply challenged in that space as a church. And we're just so excited to have you here tonight. I'm going to get out of the way and let you speak into the life of this little local church family. We expect that we'll be inspired and encouraged. Your story is just amazing, and we'll hear some of that tonight. But also, we're here to be challenged. And so we just want to invite you to speak a word of challenge to us as a church as well. And we're ready to hear and listen. So thank you so much for being here. Let me pray for you as we move into this time around God's word. Lord God, we just express our thanks to you for the way in which you created, molded, shaped Brooke into the woman that she is today and the leader that she is in our, not just our movement of churches, but the Australian church. We just pray as she carries this mantle of pursuing justice for all of creation, but particularly for the First Nations peoples of this land. Lord, we just pray that she would walk with you in that, be upheld and sustained by your Spirit, that she would walk lightly in your grace, knowing that all of the things that are beyond her to change, Lord, you weep and mourn with her and with her people, and you long and yearn to see justice and shalom break into this world. And we thank you for her role in that. We pray that her words would challenge us tonight to take up our place in that beautiful story of reconciliation that you're weaving into this nation. And so we thank you for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you. It is an absolute pleasure, and I nearly say actually a privilege, to be here at Thornley Community Baptist Church tonight. It is just over 12 months since I joined a few of you from this church community on Zoom in the midst of COVID-19 lockdowns, as we kind of did a workshop on engaging with reconciliation as friendship. And here we are this Sunday. We'll claim it as National Reconciliation Week, even though it's a few days afterwards. And we're in the midst of a season with Common Grace of treaty and truth-telling for healing country. So we're actually leading people on a season from National Reconciliation Week right through to NAIDOC Week. And if you go to this particular webpage, commongrace.org.au/treaty, there's three particular actions that we're calling people to do. And so you're going to hear a few different actions you can take tonight. I'm not going to specifically talk about these ones, but would love you to go to that website and check out the specific actions we're calling all Christians to during this season. And NAIDOC Week is the first Sunday to the second Sunday in July every year. So this year it falls on the 4th to the 11th of July. I call NAIDOC Week Aboriginal Christmas. And last year we got two NAIDOC Weeks and two Aboriginal Christmases because of COVID-19. But this year we're back to the July timing. And so a season of treaty and truth-telling for healing country. And so with National Reconciliation Week, firstly, I want to pause and emphasize reconciliation as part of that National Reconciliation Week. And the reconciliation I'm talking about is the reconciliation, the relationship between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and non-Indigenous peoples of all cultures in these lands now called Australia. It's what I call capital R reconciliation. And then I pause and I emphasise national. And so National Reconciliation Week. So let's ask or ponder a few couple of questions. Did our nation, Australia, pause to reflect and actively participate in National Reconciliation Week? How many churches, how many Christians actively participated in National Reconciliation Week? I know what I saw was many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples exhausting ourselves as we actively participated in pursuing reconciliation. And so we come together and we reflect. Reflection is important. I spend a lot of time reflecting. And it is a privilege to lead this movement of Common Grace, a movement of people pursuing Jesus and justice. And anyone can join the movement. So please do go to the website, commongrace.org.au, and sign up. You'll get all of our emails directly from us or follow us on all the social media channels at Common Grace AUS. And when it comes to being involved in and with justice, there is a lot of time of reflection. And as Common Grace, we pursue Jesus and justice, not just in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander justice, although that's where I'll focus today, but also justice for people seeking asylum and refugees, justice in terms of domestic and family violence, and creation and climate justice, where we look to protect and restore God's beautiful earth. And so today, as I focus on Aboriginal justice, and when it comes to being involved with Aboriginal justice, it is impossible to ignore reflecting on situations, reflecting on how our past, Australia's past, still affects our present, and how our present affects our personal lives, community, and indeed our nation. And some Australians are starting to learn the true history of these lands now called Australia. But as I go around to many different churches, there are still many Australians who have no idea about the true history of these lands now called Australia. And that's not just talking about the last 230 and 250 years, but thousands of years since Creator placed us as Aboriginal peoples here in these lands now called Australia in the present day. And when we look at this Aboriginal map of Australia, it's not a perfect map. There are over 300 nations of Aboriginal peoples in these lands now called Australia. This map actually has about 140 of those nations represented. So when you look in on Brisbane, Meanjin, you only see the Yuggera peoples, but north of the Brisbane River is the Turrbal peoples, and you've got the Yuggera and the Jagera. So it's not perfect, but it's one of the best representations that we have. And so you should learn through relationship. But it's important to point out that those boundaries of our nations, they weren't forged by war. For all of us as Aboriginal peoples, Creator drew our boundaries. He placed us in our nations, and The creator's story is embedded in the landscape. Those boundaries are often geographical features like rivers, mountains, or what we call country. And the important thing about country to remember is country, and you heard Mitch gave an acknowledgement of country, and it's beautiful for me to come into a place and hear an acknowledgement of country. It's an act of truth-telling. It's actually a first step in relationship. It means you care enough to acknowledge what was here beneath the carpet and the concrete and the bitumen, to actually acknowledge country. And that's not just the land and it's not just the peoples. Country is all lands, waters, sky, trees, plants, animals, birds, fish, rocks, mountains, and then all peoples. But I wonder, as you look at this map, are you actually, and apart from the lands that you live upon or work upon, can you actually name three Aboriginal nations? Have you travelled these lands now called Australia and visited somewhere? Do you know the country's names, the nation's names of each of the capital cities? Maybe that's where you could start today, because we are the world's oldest living, continuing cultures. We are a gift as Aboriginal peoples to these lands now called Australia, the world's oldest living, continuing cultures, who create a place here. We are part of God's story and always have been. And so, sadly, though, we are still a gift waiting to be embraced by many parts of these lands now called Australia. And I wonder, do you actually know the significance of National Reconciliation Week? I'll give you a second to think about that. If someone asked you what was National Reconciliation Week, what do you tell them? National Reconciliation Week actually runs from May 27, being the anniversary of the 1967 referendum that effectively counted Aboriginal peoples in the census. But when you start to hear about these dates of importance and these statistics, to go deeper, 1967 was the first time Aboriginal peoples are counted in the census. My mum was born in 1955. This is living and real history for us as Aboriginal peoples, as it should be for all non-Indigenous peoples in these lands now called Australia. And it runs until June the 3rd, being Mabo Day, that recognises the handing down of the Mabo No. 2 case in the High Court on the 3rd of June 1992. Mabo effectively overturned the lie our country had lived for far too long, that lie of terra nullius, land belonging to no one, empty land. We must remember 1992, I was 12 years old. This is what's happening in my lifetime and for many of you in your lifetime. And when we think about the present, it is all of our lifetimes coming together in this very moment. And I wonder, do you know how National Reconciliation Week started? If you follow me, you'll know I talk much about Aboriginal deaths in custody. I think it is one of the biggest injustices that we face as a nation, and the grief that it brings upon Aboriginal peoples is immense. I don't think there's not one of us as Aboriginal peoples who isn't affected by Aboriginal deaths in custody. And the 1991 Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody had 339 recommendations. Many of those have never been implemented. And if some had been implemented, deaths of Aboriginal peoples would have been prevented. And there's coronial inquests happening right now as we speak, well, during the week, where, you know, families wait years, sometimes 5 to 6 years, not for justice, but just for an answer as to how their loved one died in a state-run system. And so many of those Aboriginal peoples who have died in custody are actually on remand. They haven't even been convicted of an offence. And so this is where we must dig deeper into some of that knowledge. But I wonder if you've read the recommendations and know recommendation 339. Recommendation, the final recommendation, 339, said this: to initiate a formal process of reconciliation between Aboriginal people and the wider community. The reconciliation movement, National Reconciliation Week, comes from one of the deepest injustices that our people face in the present. And it's an invitation to all of us. And it was actually Christians who led the way in 1993, where they had a week of prayer for reconciliation, supported by Australia's major churches and major faith communities in 1993. And then it was in 1996 that the rest of society caught up and we had the very first National Reconciliation Week. Sadly, the churches forgot about us and turned it into the week of Christian prayer for Christian unity. And we often aren't invited as Aboriginal Christian leaders. And so this is important where common grace comes into play and to be led by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders as we pursue friendship and reconciliation in our lifetime. I wonder if you realise, as we looked at that, as we look at the Aboriginal map of Australia, that before 1770, there were estimated over a million, possibly a billion, Aboriginal peoples in these lands now called Australia. So this is where the lie of Terra Nullius comes in, because we were here. Today, our population levels have not recovered to what they were pre-colonisation. We last census sat at about 660 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. We were once 100% of the Australian population. Just take that away from this talk tonight, to think about that Aboriginal peoples were once 100% of the Australian population. Today we are 3%. And so we think about National Reconciliation Week and how to get involved. And do you realise where the largest Aboriginal community in Australia is, and the second largest? The largest Aboriginal community in Australia is right here in Sydney, in Greater Sydney. Over 100,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. The second largest is Brisbane. We are your next door neighbours. We are literally your neighbours. And our populations in Sydney and Brisbane alone are 1/5 of the total Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population of Australia. And so often in Australia, reconciliation has become just a word, but it is so much more than that. Reconciliation is a journey, it takes action, and it affects real people's lives. I would rather call reconciliation friendship. It is through friendship, and if we just think about friendship in its broad terms, and then apply it to reconciliation as friendship, it is through friendship that we get to know each other, that we desire to learn, share, and grow with each other. And I believe through friendship, we could close the gap a whole lot quicker. As an Aboriginal Christian leader and as the Movement of Common Grace, we are leading the nation, all Christians of all cultures, to be led by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders to pursue friendship and reconciliation in our lifetime. That means in our lifetime. That means something to each individual, our lifetime, and then collectively. And if we are to achieve reconciliation in my lifetime alone, there is much to learn and much to do. On the 25th of January this year, Common Grace, through the invitation of Auntie Jean Phillips, one of Australia's most senior Aboriginal Christian leaders. Auntie Jean is 85 years old and still doing full-time ministry and still leading us as younger Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders. But with Auntie Jean and Common Grace, we brought together tens of thousands of people to be tuning in together to change the heart of Australia through the Change the Heart service. And during that service, there was this special section that we filmed with many Aboriginal peoples, and it reads out a list of injustices. It's not an exhaustive list. That part of the service, and I encourage you, you've got the link up there, commongrace.org.au/watch. If you didn't watch it back then, please go and watch it. Make it your act of reconciliation for National Reconciliation Week. If you did watch it, please go and re-watch it and re-engage with what was happening through Change the Heart. And so that was a vision that I had, the way that that Injustices is filmed, that I had many years ago. And so it was beautiful to see it come together through Change the Heart. But in these times of reflection, learning and action, you will tune into those many injustices facing Aboriginal peoples in Australia today. However, these shouldn't be branded as Aboriginal issues. These are injustices facing our nation. These injustices exist in our nation. That's all peoples in these lands now called Australia. And I'm just going to read a few of these out. Stolen land. Stolen generations, stolen wages, massacres and genocide, lack of treaty, lack of a national truth-telling commission, lack of return of ancestral remains, lack of protection of sacred sites, life expectancy gaps, high rates of prison incarceration and juvenile detention, the age of criminal responsibility at 10 years of age, Aboriginal deaths in custody, denied access to medical attention in custody, the highest rates of child suicide in the world, the new stolen generation, the lack of closing the gap, poverty, racism. As I read that word, racism, even during my National Reconciliation Week, if there was one thing that I could change in these lands now called Australia, it would be that people stop saying to me, "You can't be Aboriginal. How are you Aboriginal? You're not Aboriginal because my skin colour is fair." If you have that question tonight, or if you ever hear someone say it, can you please correct them? If you have those questions, it means you don't know our true history. You don't know our story. You aren't in friendship with us. And it happened 3 times this week at various events I went to. And so we must change these lands now called Australia. But Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are 5 times more likely to be unemployed, 14 times more likely to be homeless. On census night a couple of censuses ago, 1 in 20 Aboriginal people were homeless. And if you understand how the census works, it's hard to calculate the homeless people. And so 1 in 20 Aboriginal people were homeless. We're 6 times more likely not to have diabetes, but to die from diabetes. And behind these injustices and statistics are people. It's real people. To me, they are faces and names. It's not statistics. I don't actually hear the statistics. I see the people and I hear their name. They're aunties, uncles, brothers, sisters, cousin brothers, cousin sisters, nieces, nephews. Indeed, they are my family. And many are Christian. 54% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples identify as Christian. Not only are we your Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters, we are your Christian brothers and sisters. And the list can be overwhelming, but I can't afford for you to be overwhelmed. And if you have any of those feelings of being overwhelmed or whatever might be happening for you, maybe tackle them by learning more, by actively participating in reconciliation. And so after Change the Heart, Bianca Manning, a Gomeroi woman, a young Gomeroi woman who's our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Justice Coordinator, she pulled together this beautiful 2-page PDF, which you can get at Journey of Education and Learning on our website. And why don't you print that out and put it up at home somewhere and tick it off as you actually take these actions that we're asking you to, as you actually go and learn more. There's 3 key steps that we mentioned, and they're the first 3, and I dream of an Australia where every Christian just did these 3 things, which is to watch the free SBS series First Australians, to read Bruce Pascoe's Dark Emu, and to read Aunty Reverend Denise Champion's Yada Wandata. And if you would like to join me on Tuesday night, you can actually come and join Reverend, now Dr. Auntie Denise Champion. She just got her theology honorary doctorate for her book launch, Anna Ditch. And you're sure to learn a whole bunch at her book launch. So you can register on our website and come and join me and Auntie Reverend Dr. Denise Champion. And so, if we are to come together, we must break the great Australian silence. We must seek justice and we must love. My people's lives depend upon it. Reconciliation can seem like an impossible dream. And that's when we go to our Bible verse from tonight. And I use the story of the bleeding woman and Jairus from Mark 5 to symbolise this thing I call impossible dreams. And I often put it in inverted commas, impossible dreams. Impossible dreams require a lot of work. As Aboriginal Christian leaders, we are working so hard simply for non-Aboriginal people to know us and to love us. As Aboriginal peoples, we can't do reconciliation on our own. We actually need you. But unfortunately, as Aboriginal peoples, we can often be ignored or even worse, somehow we become invisible. Just like the bleeding woman, we as Aboriginal peoples can be seen as one of many afflicted peoples in Australia or in the world. And in the passage in Mark 5 in verse 26, it says, "She had endured much under many physicians and doctors, had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse." To me, this reminds me of the struggle we have as Aboriginal peoples with the government and sometimes even with the church structures in this nation. Over 200 years of growing worse. But for me, both the bleeding woman and the father had exhausted all worldly and human possibilities. They had impossible dreams and they turned to Jesus. Reverend Joel Edwards, the former international director of MICA and a very dear friend of mine, once said this: "This is what Christianity is all about. It's about dreaming impossible dreams and making them come true." You and I believe in a God that can make all things possible. Impossible dreams can be possible. My prayer is that love and compassion compel us to work towards God's vision of reconciliation here in these lands now called Australia. God's vision of his kingdom here on earth, here in these lands now called Australia. The impossible dream where God provided us as his children as the action to make the impossible dream come true. And that's the key to our impossible dreams. Impossible dreams don't just come about from dreaming. They require action. The bleeding woman, she took action. She reached out and touched Jesus. The father took action. He took on those crowds and brought Jesus to his daughter. To bring about reconciliation requires action. You see, the impossible dream of reconciliation can be possible when we work and walk together. A great example of this for me is this painting called Reconciliation by the amazing Aboriginal artist Cindy Allsop. You see, we have the black footprints, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, and we have this white set of footprints. For me, I see in those white set of footprints a rainbow set of footprints representing all the different cultures of peoples, of non-Indigenous peoples in these lands now called Australia. But we come from our two different sides. We haven't learnt each other's story. But we take the action of footstep by footstep, of walking. Walking is an action. And we come from our different places and we walk towards the cross. It's then there at the foot of the cross, and you can see in the painting those little U symbols. The U shape is like a central desert Aboriginal painting symbol that is represents a person. And it's here at the foot of the cross sitting side by side each other. Not this mob over here and this mob over here, but side by side each other. It's there at the foot of the cross that we hear each other's story, that we honour one another. And then it says the blue wavy lines that we walk away as reconciled peoples, not as the same. And you must see in that blue wavy line our unity with diversity. Unity is not sameness. Unity has to have diversity. But we walk away as those blue wavy lines, reconciled and united in purpose. And the hands around the outside remind us that this picture takes work. We have to actively participate in reconciliation. And so it's a journey of making an impossible dream possible. And that is your invitation to join us on the journey. A journey where you will decide whether you will take the next step, which could be to learn more. A journey where you will actively participate in reconciliation. You'll make that choice today. And it's a choice not just to ask lots of questions, and especially not to ask Aboriginal people's questions, but to ask yourself the questions, to ask your own friends and family the questions, to ask your own heart, to ask Jesus, to participate in conversation. I can't reach every area of Australia. I've probably exhausted myself trying to. But you can. Can you continue the conversation? If you're going to go to the big weekend, think about three questions and three different people you could have a conversation with. Think about this week in your own friends and family. Who could you have a conversation about reconciliation, about something I've shared today? Continue the conversation. And it is a choice whether you will become friends with Aboriginal peoples. One of the ways to do that is mainly online. Engage with Common Grace. Go back and look at all of our previous National Reconciliation Week materials and learn from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders. We tell their story. Go and search for Uncle Reverend Sam Diner's story, a member of the Stolen Generations, a Uniting Church reverend who shares about that reconciliation should be with us all the time, not just in one week. And our members of the Stolen Generations have so much to teach us. Being friends with us means us that you will ask others, non-Indigenous peoples of all cultures, the questions, and you will be telling them about how Australia's history still affects the present. It is a choice to rethink reconciliation this week and continuing, and to ask God to help you see what you need to learn, to change and to do, to take your place in helping to bring about reconciliation in Australia. It is a choice to kneel beside us as Aboriginal peoples at the foot of the cross. As your Christian brothers and sisters, we are brought to our knees in prayer each and every day for this nation, for all peoples of all cultures. And so we are already there, and I feel like I'm often calling non-Indigenous Christians to come and kneel with us at the foot of the cross, just like this picture. Coming together and fulfilling our role as Christians in these lands now called Australia through actively participating in capital R reconciliation is vitally important. It is a call that Jesus is placing on all our peoples. It's a call that's been there for the last 250 years. In the 2021 Change the Heart service, I invited Australia to listen, to learn, and to love. I asked the question, and I ask it today in light of the things that I've shared. Do you realise that after 250 years of injustice, Aboriginal people still hold out our hand in friendship and seek right relationship? This is the basis of our cultures. Hospitality and generosity is the creator who teaches us that we must have right relationship. That's the creator that teaches Aboriginal peoples, has taught us over thousands of years to seek right relationship with all of country. And for me, this is also that commandment from Jesus. For me, this shows the incredible examples from Aboriginal peoples of our extraordinary forgiveness, grace, and faith. Indeed, some of my dearest non-Indigenous friends have actually called it a miracle. And you see, it was actually my mum, my Aboriginal mum, who first taught me to dream and to actively go after my impossible dreams. It's me, this little Aboriginal girl who grew up and lived most of her life in Redcliffe in Queensland on Gubbi Gubbi country, the neighbouring nation to my grandmother's country, Waka Waka Nation. And I never dreamed I would achieve the things that I have, or even to be standing here on this stage sharing with you as a church community. It was my mum that taught me to dream those impossible dreams. And you see, back in 1997, when this photo was taken at my Year 12 awards night, I was actively working for reconciliation, capital R reconciliation, between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and non-Indigenous peoples in these lands now called Australia. In 1997, as a 17-year-old, I thought that we, Australia, would achieve reconciliation by the year 2000. For me, reconciliation meant that Aboriginal peoples would, by the year 2000, have a treaty. Aboriginal peoples would be treated equally. As a 17-year-old, I knew I was not treated equally in this country, and that we would have an end to racism. Sadly, all these years later, Australia, that's you and I, have not achieved these things. But I still do believe in the impossible dream of reconciliation. And reconciliation is achievable in our humanness. It is something that can be achieved in our humanness. It is strengthened with Jesus by our side. And looking back, I now realise that I actually, as a 17-year-old, dedicated my life to the pursuit and the achievement of reconciliation. I wonder if you can think back to when you were 17 years old, or even today, what does it mean to dedicate your life to reconciliation? Why are Aboriginal peoples dedicating our lives to reconciliation and exhausting ourselves, seeking right relationship? We need you. We need you on the journey. It was at the age of 21 in 2001 that I became a Christian, and then that pursuit then involved walking hand in hand with Jesus. Jesus, who in life, death, and resurrection was and is passionate about justice. Jesus, who teaches me that through the love of God, that Jesus's love is transforming, intriguing, and relentless, and is able to change hearts, peoples, and nations. Reconciliation may seem like an impossible dream, but my mum taught me to dream those dreams. God then taught me, with God, all things are possible. And you see, each one of you are part of my hope for this nation. I look into your eyes and I see Jesus. Sadly, when some, and often it feels like many, non-Aboriginal people look into our eyes, the eyes of their Aboriginal brothers and sisters, they see us as some of your ancestors may have, as flora and fauna, as a problem to be fixed, as an issue, or even worse, that somehow how we become invisible. I look into your eyes and I see the tears that Jesus weeps for both and all our peoples, as he yearns for relationship and healing in these lands now called Australia. And I look into your eyes searching for love for my peoples. Not solutions, because we as Aboriginal peoples have always had those. The government and the church structures just don't want to listen to us. I look into your eyes with hope that you will go and learn more, that you will listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christian leaders through places like Common Grace or the Grass Tree Gathering. And I look into your eyes searching to see if you will actively participate in bringing about reconciliation in your lifetime, in our lifetime. It will require truth, justice, action, and above all, it will require love. And so as the story that goes with this painting by my sister, my actual sister, Jasmine Roberts, Waka Waka artist, called Will You. That dot work in the back are our song lines. The black in the middle is a big boab tree. They are native to Australia. And you can see you in this picture as well, or I hope that you can see you. And so it's the story that goes with this painting by my sister. Will you take my hand? Will you listen to my songs? Will you walk with me? Will you help me find truth? Will you help me seek justice? Will you please, please, please take my hand? Let us pray. Jesus, as I have said before, you are the great unsettler. You unsettle us in heart, mind, and spirit each and every day. May we tune in to being unsettled, to do your work, to be your hands and feet in these lands now called Australia. We know you hear, listen, and respond to the cries of Aboriginal peoples over the last 250 years. We pray for more non-Indigenous peoples of all cultures to hear your yearning, your call for relationship and healing in these lands now called Australia. May you give us the courage, the strength, the energy, and the passion to pursue you, Jesus, and to pursue justice in these lands now called Australia. Amen.